Everybody. My name is Reinald Pieterse, for those of you that do not know me. I am not the pastor here, but I'm one of the elders. It's my privilege today to bring you the Word of God. Our pastor and most of our congregation, well, not most, but quite a few of them, is currently in Rundu, and they are on a mission trip over there. For some of the members of our church, they've been part of our church for quite a while. They have moved to Rundu, and it's just a privilege for us to go to Rundu and just bring the Word of God to them, and also to the people in Rundu, because our family there, Isaac and Carla, they just say there's quite a need, and there is something in our hearts. We just wanted to go out and bless them, and in that process also go and bless the people of Rundu. And that is such a privilege for us, as a church, just to go out and send us where God send us. As we always say, God is, these first two letters in his name means go. So we go as a church, and there is a mission and a mandate for us as shofar, is to really to go out to the nations and just bring the Word of God to them. And I mean, that you can see if you go to our website and visit there, you'll just see the amounts of people that's going out on mission trips and just visiting nations. I think we've visited over 40 nations this year alone. I don't know how many missions teams went out, how many people is involved, but it's really a mandate for us as a church, and it's really a privilege as well, just to see God's grace as we go out, and just to see how people's lives are changed. And that is something that is so precious, and it's something so profound for us as well. And that is basically where a large part of our congregation here went to Rundu, also from Swakopmund, our sister church in Swakop. There's also quite a few people of them that went with our pastor, Pastor Karel Holtz, and also Pastor Jaco van Rooyen from Swakop. Ach, Leanne, can you just catch that page? So that's part of the reason why I'm standing here today, and the privilege it is. And just for the sermon, it was quite a hectic week, 2 weeks for me, and it was just such a struggle for me just to say, Lord, I have no time. I don't know where I'm going to get time, but I just want to maybe work on out an old sermon that I preached about 2 years back, and I really felt I'm going to do that. And just as I sat down yesterday, I just wanted to spend some time with God and His Word, and then I just started reading in 2 Peter, and then oh my word, the Word just came alive, and I thought, Lord, you want me to preach now on this? Okay, Lord, I will try. I will prepare as best as I can. And well, it was a hectic day yesterday, so, and I was just so amazed at the power of the Word, because it just became alive to me in such a way that I was just amazed. It was just so amazing to look at scriptures that I've read, and I've read it over and over, and it's just such a new perception that God gave to me in such an amazing way. And I will try to share that with you in a manner that I experienced it as I read it. So it was such a amazing privilege just to have that experience, because when you start preaching, you have to really search your heart, you have to look at scripture, and those are things that the two combined is such a powerful testimony of who God is, because He uses your heart and the way that you think, and He uses, combines it with His Word. Actually, the other way around, because His Word is the ultimate Word or the ultimate truth. And we just use our hearts and our minds to follow in the way that in the direction He wants us to follow. And that is something that I experienced so profoundly yesterday with this Word. So I'm really excited. I hope you are too. If you're not excited yet, shake somebody next to you and say, are you excited about this Word? And I see a number of new faces. I would just like to say welcome to you. There's not a crowd of people, so I can see their faces. And I would just like to say welcome to the shofar. We hope you enjoy it. Hope to see you again. And some old faces that has returned as well, thank you for visiting us again. Really, really looking forward to spend some time with you. So please don't rush away or rush off to home after church. We'd really like to drink some coffee with you and get to know you better. Okay. Ah, I just want to pray again. Father God, I just thank you for the Word, Lord, that is just alive in my heart today, Father. I want to share, Father. I ask that you would just guide my words, my mind, and my spirit, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, just to give me utterance, Lord, just to give direction, Father, what you want me to share, Father, that will be able, Lord, to change people's lives, Lord God, and will touch people's hearts, Lord God, and give them something that has meaning and something of importance in their lives as well. Father, we just thank you for your word, Father, that is alive to us, and it's a truth, Father, that we can trust in and rely on, Father, that it's absolute truth, Father, that nothing else can come ahead of you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, as I was preparing the word, it was just something that I started reading in 2 Peter, but I will get back to 2 Peter in a little while. And it was just something that I started thinking on as I read this, and then also in line with the sermons that we've had from Aaron Skriger, our other elder in church, and where he just spoke about critical momentum. He just gave his engineering perspective and also brought a bit of God's word into that, and it was really something that touched a lot of people's hearts. Then Paul Botha went last week when he sermon, he said, no, it's critical momentum part 2. So mine is now critical momentum part 3 almost. But it also builds on that to a certain degree. And it's, for me, it was just in the same sense, pursuing maturity as Christians. Because that is something that I heard from quite a few people as well, that many Christians have got a certain perspective in the way they experience life and how they approach God. And there's just a lack of maturity, because you think in a way, and the way that you do things in your life is the way that you understand God and His Word and how you try to implement this. And that is something not as simple as that, but because the Word of God is so... I can't remember all the verses. I mean, if you can, maybe we can give you the sermon next week and you can just go on God's Word. But that is something to remember. Each and every aspect of it is mind-boggling for me. If you can do it, that's great. I can't, so I'm limited by what I can remember and what I experience from God's Word. And that, for me, I'm a heart person. The way I feel is sometimes the way I experience the Lord is, I experience things, I feel things. I'm a feeler. I feel things and I'm very sensitive. And in that regard, is also the way that I approach God and His Word, is how this Word makes me feel. How do I experience it? And I mean, from people to people, that is different than looking at Johnny with his heart. He wants to go out and preach the word to the people. So he's got a totally different perspective, but it's not incorrect. As long as it lines up with the word of God, it is something that just changes people's heart, and it changes your heart, and just the way that you experience Jesus. And that is something that's so profound about God's word, because it allows each and every person, an aspect of their personality, just to connect with God and just allow Him to touch you and show you, but this is who you are, and this is how I made you, and this is how you can experience me through my word, which is just amazing for me. And that is something that I just want to try and convey and just show you. But, and that is, for me, when you start looking at maturity, what does maturity mean? What does it mean to be a mature Christian? And for me now, you have to basically step back. What does it mean just to be a basic Christian? And if you now have a mature Christian, what does it mean to have a junior Christian, I would say? But for me, I wouldn't say a junior Christian, because Christian is something that you basically receive from God. It's that free gift. As soon as you make that choice and that decision to follow Jesus, you're basically a Christian. But you're a baby Christian. But now you have to progress. You can't just be a baby Christian having milk the whole time. You have to progress to solid food. Now, I have 2 boys. One is 3, one is 5. And I know about diapers and babies. And now this week, I think we went beyond diapers. We don't have any diapers in the house anymore. So that's, praise the Lord, hallelujah. That's a big step, as any parent will know. And that, for us as Christians, is so important as well, to grow and mature and become basically self-independent to a certain degree. Because we're in a body, we're part of a church, and we're growing as a body. But in that body, you have a certain function and a role to fill. Because you have a specific gifting, you have a specific purpose and calling on your life. And that basically forms part of us as a church, as a body, which edifies the body in turn. Because all of us have our giftings, and when we all bring it together, we become such a strong body And we have such strong giftings that we're able to complement one another and build each other up. And that is something that we as Christians in the house also have to find. You have to mature to a place where you are able to bring something to the house and not just receive, receive, receive. You have to come to a place of maturity where you start giving, and I'll come back to that. Now, the basic Christian for me was actually so amazing what God just showed me, and that was just a total different way. And Johnny is sitting there, and Johnny, I didn't steal this from you just before you started accusing me, because he actually gave us such a nice presentation of the armor of God and the way. And I promise you, I didn't go look at it and say, "Oh, Johnny, yeah, yeah, yeah." So, Johnny, this is something that just God showed me yesterday. And I will just follow that from there. So, it's from Ephesians, verse 10 to 18. "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take to yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand still. Therefore stand, having your loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now you might ask, what does this have to do with being a basic Christian? And that is just something that I will step through, because this to me, Johan, can you maybe go to one of the pictures, the other one? Okay, go back to the other one. Okay, it's just a picture of a Christian and what we are supposed to look like in the Spirit. And I want to go almost by the picture, because that for me is the way that I had it in my mind. I pictured it in my mind that you basically now have the helmet of salvation, which is basically, as a Christian, is the first step for you actually to become a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus. You have to invite Him into your heart, and you have to have that knowledge of who He is. And that's such a beautiful picture of the helmet of salvation that covers that knowledge and the choice that you have made to be a Christian. So that's such a beautiful picture for me. And then we go to the breastplate of righteousness. Now for me, I always love doing this, because I almost want to challenge somebody. What does righteousness mean? Because you read the Word, you basically go through the Word, you hear that Word, you know about it, but what does it actually mean? And for me, I form a feeling of a word, what righteousness means. And then, okay, I know what righteousness is. But then somebody gives you a mic and say, what does righteousness mean? It's, I feel, and then, I just love going to a dictionary and just say, what does righteousness mean? Okay, now I have to remember where I put it, because it is some here somewhere. Because I'm actually now running ahead of myself, but we'll get there. Okay, righteousness. To be morally justified or justifiable. Adhering to moral principles. The breastplate of righteousness covers your heart. It covers your innermost being, who you are. And okay, before, now I'm running back again, because this is now something important that you have to grasp as well. The helmet of salvation is something that God gives us out of His love. It's out of His love towards us, He gives us the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness is also that He made us righteous. He gave us the principles to live by, which is also flowing from His heart, His love towards us, to cover us, to protect us. And then we go to the shield of faith. Now this is an important part, because this is something that protects us as Christians. Our faith is what we believe, what we have our faith and our trust in. That is something that we basically are responsible for, because our faith and what we believe God to be is what we believe. What we believe we can stand against, what we believe we are able to do in His name, and also to protect ourselves. And that is something that we basically take up the shield of faith. God doesn't place the shield of faith in front of us. We take it up. We use it as a tool to defend ourselves. That is one of those aspects of God that is so amazing for me, that He has this picture and He gives it to us that we can work with. And then we get to the spirit of the sword, which is the word of God. Now that for me is relationship, because that is something that God gives you and you can use, but there's a relationship there, because you know the word of God and you must know how to use it, because it's something profound and absolute in your lives, as well as Christians around you's lives and peoples around you's lives. Because you use the word to pray, to speak life, to speak prophecies, and it must line up with the word of God. And it's just that sword of truth that gives you. Okay, now I'm running ahead again. And that basically brings us to the belt of truth with which you gird yourself up. And that truth, for me, there are lots of aspects. This is just something that I just want, that the Lord just showed me. That truth is the truth that actually combines all of this. Because if you do not believe in God, you cannot have salvation. If you do not trust His word, you cannot have faith. If you do not believe in the sword, His word, it is useless for you. It has to be something that's alive, that's something that you can use. And that truth for me speaks of that truth, that you believe in God, in who He is, and that He will do what He is called to do, and that you can trust Him. And that just speaks of that truth that we have to believe in. And that trust, basically, and that faith goes to our faith, goes to our salvation, goes to our righteousness. And that truth is the absolute truth of who God is, that He loves us, that He cares for us. He's not just somebody out there that wants to see, okay, you made a mistake, now I can spank you. His heart is really for us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have life and life in abundance. And there are certain truths that you have to adhere to, certain principles that you have to follow. And then we get to the feet of, it's not even shoes, they just say you have to shod your feet with preparation of the gospel, for the gospel of peace. And that speaks to me of our love now going out again. Because you can't be a Christian without shoes, without the preparation to spread the gospel of peace. Because you can be fully clothed in this armor, but you do not have those shoes, that mindset of going out. From what I've received, I must go out again. And that is the love that we have for the people around us, for our fellow Christians, to protect them. If you say, okay, this is where I stand, I'm not going anywhere, you're basically useless in the kingdom of God, because He cannot use you. You must be able to go where He directs you, and you must be driven by love. And that picture for me is what a basic Christian must be about. This is not a baby Christian. This is now like a teenager Christian, just before he gets to maturity. And there's just a picture, Johan, if you can just go to the circle. And this basic picture of a Christian is like a wheel. Okay, it's a bit difficult to see the words for those of you that needs glasses. But this for me is basically what Aaron also spoke about in his sermon. But he just spoke about spokes in the wheel. Where this for me is almost the same principle. You can be spokes, but this for me is better just explained as the outside part of the Christian, of what it basically encapsulates to be a Christian. You have to have salvation. Okay, my salvation is now not on top, because these ones are interlinked. They are not actually this one first, but in the principle, salvation basically comes first through faith. So faith for me is on top. Then you go to salvation, which is the helmet. And then you go to truth, which is your belt. And then the word of God, the spirit of the sword. And then you get righteousness, your breastplate. And then I just wrote love. Because that is for me the picture of what the sandals represent in the armor of God. And this for me is the true basic Christian. What you have to be. Now, if one of these parts are missing in your life, you will have a really bumpy ride if you are able to move it all. So if you take out one part of that wheel, you'll basically be stuck. Or you know that motion. I don't know if you've ever ridden a cart like that. I always see it in the cartoons my son's watching. You see this, and this guy is bouncing all over the show. And that for me is basically the picture I have of a basic Christian. What this armor for me represents, what a basic Christian must be, and what he has to have, the tools he needs, the principles he has to follow. Everybody with me? Anybody wants to object at this stage, you are more than welcome. If I'm not in line with the word, you can stop me anytime. But I'm really excited where we are going. So how do we mature as Christians? How do we mature as Christians? And that for me is something that I read in 2 Peter 1, from verse 1 to 12. But it's also something that this wheel speaks of. You have to take the whole armor. You have to take everything. You can't have one part missing and ignore the other. It will not complete you. And you cannot progress to maturity. You first need to complete this cycle, this circle, this wheel, before you actually can begin to mature, before God can actually direct you to say, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to follow this. And that you can just use the Holy Spirit in your heart to direct your works, direct your will. And how he wants to use you is something that we as Christians have to struggle with. Did I hear right from God? Did he tell me to resign from my job and go and do missions in Angola? Things like that. Quite a few people that you have to resign and go do another job, or you get a promotion in your, or you want to go to a new job and they give you lots of money, much more money and all that, and then, okay, God, is this from you? Is this not from you? Okay, God, this is not from you. How can it be? It's a lot of money, God. Okay, you don't want me to go. Lord, I'll submit. What you say, I will do. And that's the beginning of maturity, that you understand God's will. And then I just want to read with you, it should be there at the back as well. 2 Peter 1, from verse 1 to 10. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, through which he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten what he has, that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, we will mainly focus on verses 5 to 7. And again, when you start with maturity, it begins with faith. And that is what we're all about. Now, who can define faith for me again? And this is what I did the whole day. Okay, this is the word. What does it mean? I know in my heart what it means, but can I explain it? Can I put it in words so that people that don't know and understand can actually understand this? And that for me was I just got this from the dictionary, faith. It's the complete trust or confidence in. And there, it basically stops. But for us as Christians, this is where it basically continues. In God, in his word, and in his actions. That is our faith. That is what we believe. that we have complete trust and confidence in God, in His Word, and what He wants to do through us. Now that is basically, the basic Christian is the foundation on which we will start building our maturity as Christians. And this is basically the first ingredient, I would say, to this wall we are starting to build, the maturity that we are starting to gain. And that faith is something that we just have to grow in. And that is something that we'll get back to, because this faith is not just believing. It's actually seeing God in action and then building up our faith even further. Because once you go through troubles, you go through situations where you know that you know that you know that God was there with you and He helped you. That is just something that takes your faith from down there to a level that you can think, but what? You're not a Christian? How can that be? That's impossible. How can you live in this world without God? And that's just a level of faith that is not arrogant, but just realizes, but this is a God that loves me, and He's with me, and He wants to protect me. It's not just letting me go into the world and letting me run into every stone or falling over every rock that I can't see. He wants to guide you. And we sometimes just lack that maturity to know when God is guiding you, and you have to step out in faith, and when God is actually telling you to stop, but you ignore and you run straight ahead and you hit the wall. And then, okay, ouch, okay, Lord, next time I'll listen a bit closer. I'll spend the time with you before I act. Because usually we react instead of waiting for God to show us how to act, and then we act. Now again, faith is the first building block. And what do we have to add to faith? Virtue. Who can define virtue for me? And these are the things that we as Christians so many times miss, me included. Because you read the Word and you go through the Word, but you know what it means, but you don't fully know. And then you ask, but what does it actually mean, Lord? What does the dictionary tell me it means? And then we just get to virtue. Behavior showing high moral standards, a quality considered morally good or desirable in a person. Now, from our faith and in His Word, we are able to build up this virtue in us, because His Word is like a guide for us. And again, now we get back to that wheel or the foundation that a basic Christian must be. He must trust in the truth of God and His Word. Once he has the Word of God in his hands, he knows what God wants from him. He knows what God asks. Listen, if you want to live a life that's prosperous, these are the basic steps, the Ten Commandments, the basic rules of a Christian has to follow. And you learn to trust the Word. And you just trust in it. And that's basically where it starts. And then this is for me like it's going into inner layers and getting deeper and deeper, growing in maturity, being more involved with Christ and virtue, just showing those moral standards. Because now you have the faith to know who God is, and you know what He wants you to do. And now you actually start walking in that faith, which then becomes virtue. Because you know what you're supposed to do and you react to it. And you know, okay, God, you want me to do this. This is what your Word says I must do. Okay, Lord, I will submit. I will do what you tell me to do. And then you start working in that. And then what is following after virtue? Knowledge. Who can define knowledge for me? I'm going to do this the whole morning. Information and skills acquired through experience or education. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. Now, for us as a Christian, this is the knowledge that we gain through His Word, but also through experience. Because sometimes you have the knowledge. For me as an engineer, my profession is an engineer, so I know a lot of theory and a lot of things. And in my line of work, you sometimes get to a certain thing and you struggle for weeks with the problem. And you can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. You try this way and that way. And you take your theories and you read your theory books again. You try to see, okay, this is how it fits in, and then you just get that epiphany or that, light bulb, ding! This is what that theory meant that I studied 3 years ago. This is what it actually means. This is why I can implement it. And that is where that knowledge and experience of God comes into play, because you can have the knowledge, everything in this book, but it can mean nothing if you cannot implement it in your life, your daily life, at home, at work, wherever you are. And that is that knowledge and that salvation again for me that just covers this knowledge, that renews your mind, gives you a better understanding of who God is and what He wants you to do. And after knowledge, self-control. Now, what does it mean to have self-control? You read it, you know it, but do you really know what it means? Self-control, the act of denying yourself, controlling your impulses. Junior Christian, we have to get this world saved. We go out running, which is cool as long as God can direct you and not just you running and you doing whatever you want that's popping up in your mind the whole time. It's great. It's not bad. But as long as God is directing you, you can go with it. But we sometimes miss God. We have to run into the wall and say, okay, mistake. Sorry, God. Let's back up. Get back to where we were. The standards. Okay, God, what did you want me to do? Okay, run to the left, not straight ahead. Okay, thank you. Okay, God, I'm running to the left after that. And it's just that self-control, not allowing our impulses and our natural way that we think and do things to override what God's Word is telling us to do. Because many times we have to make a decision. And I have to go, God, and I do this constantly throughout the day. God, there's this situation. What do you want me to do? And I just pray in tongues. And I just ask, Lord, Lord, reveal to me. Is this, because I sometimes don't know what to do. I've had that many times in my work where they just give me a problem to solve and it's like, Lord, I don't even know where to start. And you just say, just start. And then I go, I try, I struggle, I battle, I can't figure it out. I go to sleep the next morning, bing! And it's just God's way of saying, listen, I'm with you always, even at work, even if you have to do difficult tasks there. He can give you the insight. I love it. This is an example that Sias always had, because he was working in a situation. They would call him into a meeting in a field that he has no cooking clue. And he would just pray in the tongue. And they would discuss it in the meeting. And while he's just praying and sweating and thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to get through this. And the God just gives him revelation. And then he asks the people and they're like, whoa. And Sias is like, whoa. And that's just the way that God works. He wants to use us. He wants to work through us. But yeah, we have to have that self-control. And it's just interesting how you, if you look at the sequence, that you first have to get the knowledge before you get self-control, not get self-control before you get the knowledge. You first have to know who God is, how He wants to use you, what His Word is all about. And then only He wants you to have self-control and practice this. Which we'll get to next into the next word of maturity, I would say. Okay, I've not even bothered to read the scriptures. I hope they are there. But it's 2 Peter 1 verse 6. After self-control, we have to add perseverance. Again, what is perseverance? We read the scripture, we run through it. What does it mean? Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success or an aim. Perseverance, persevering, pushing through, even when there is nothing showing. No, you can't experience God. You can't say that He's there. You're praying for people for healing, but nothing is happening. So I must stop, Lord. I don't have healing in my vocabulary. I must not have healing in my giftings. No. You have to persevere. You have to keep at it. Even if there's no proof or that it's not happening. Sometimes God will tell you, listen, okay, it's enough now. You can stop. But if He's not saying anything, then you have to continue. Even if there's no fruits, even if there's no experience of it, there's no proof of it. If God tells you to do something, you have to do it. If His Word's telling you to do something, guess what? You have to do it. His word is your guide. More than that, it's your life. So perseverance is something that we have to grow, because you will try it and then give up. And so many Christians in life don't know how to persevere because they don't see the fruits, they don't see the progress in their lives, and then give up or backslide. Because God, it's just too difficult. Jesus, you don't understand. My life is a mess. How can I do this? How can I go forward? And then you have to look up at the cross and just swallow your words and say, God, forgive me for what I've said. Because you have every clue. You know everything. You understand completely. And that is who you are. And that is how you persevered. That you had to make that decision that these people don't love you. They wanted to stone him. They actually crucified him. And he had to make that choice. Even though they don't love me now, I will still do this. I will carry on regardless. Because I know what it has. I know that it will bear fruit. I know that it will have significance. Then after perseverance, we have to add godliness. Again, what does godliness mean? That is something that I actually had to think about. I actually don't know what it means. I have an idea. It's like, it's to be like God. And then I get the definition. Loving and obeying God. Conforming to the laws and the wishes of God. Now this for me is almost on a personal level, where the others is, it's like law. I won't say law in a religious manner, but this is the word of God. This is what he wants you to do. And godliness is where you actually, out of love for him, start experiencing that life that he's called you to. And then you have that experience of God because you know you are living what he's called, or you are doing what he's called you to do. You're living in the way that he's called you to do. And then you just start experiencing that freedom and that life in abundance and that maturity that God is just building into you. And that is just amazing how to see this actually in God's word. And just experiencing it in such a profound way. And then we get to the next part. To godliness, we must add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Actually, they just define kindness, but this is actually also a Greek word that they used. Philadelphia. I can't remember even the definition out of my head. Okay, but I've got the definition from the dictionary as well. It's quality of showing concern about the happiness and feelings. I hope that's spelled correctly. Yeah, thank you, Juan. Of others in a gentle and brotherly way. Now you've matured. Now you've started to understand who God is, how he wants to use you, and how he wants to impact your life and start impacting other people's lives. And that is where that brotherly love comes from. It's not from arrogance that we think, okay, God saved me, so now I must go and save. No. You start doing out of love for him, and you realize how much he loves that person. And you go for that because God loves that person. He wants to see them saved, not because I'm saved, now I must get other people saved. It's from love. And that's where it's also so, for me, so profound, because from after this brotherly love, we have brotherly kindness, we have to add love. Okay, love, we all know what it means, but I also looked up the definition. Yeah. Love, strong feeling of deep affection. Now, this is something that just hit me as well. A loving God, he's a person. He's not just a God out there. He has to have this strong feeling of deep affection towards us, towards this world, everything that he's created. He has this love for everything he has made. And he is a person. He's not just a God that has no feelings, he's just out there, not able to connect with us. He knows us. He knows what we feel. He's experienced it himself, and he loves us more than we will ever know or fully understand. And love, for me, is also where we get back to the circle again, the wheel. This almost completes the maturity part. Once you have gone through this process, and you now get to the point of love, where we as a church are called to love one another, And people will judge us from the outside in by our love towards one another. And also our love that God gives in our hearts to the people outside there, because now we are mature Christians. We can actually fully understand everything that God has called us to do. We always in Bible school, we've got this example of God draws the people to Him. The Holy Spirit convicts the people. Jesus saves them, and we must just love them. And this is such a beautiful picture that God created, because from this love, we can basically go back now to faith, salvation. Because once we are saved, we are able to help others get saved as well, by God's direction, by God's will. It was so awesome for me. 2 weeks ago, we had a salvation in our small group, and it was like, God, this is too easy. This guy is just saying yes. But it's just because he saw in somebody else's life how God is changing this person's life. And he just realizes this is not just some theory in a book. This is actually happening for real in this person's life. And he just saw that how God was touching that person. He could not resist. He wanted God. He wanted what he was seeing in this person's life. He wanted it. So he just said, yes, 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 let's go on. Let's get to this point where I can have this life. Which is just who God is. And that just completes for me that love cycle. Or the cycle we as Christians have to mature to. And then the cycle will go on for the next group of people that comes into church, gets saved, gets the basics right, start maturing, grows in love, and from that love, we're able to get more people into the faith, out of love, because God is love. And then I just want to read 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that just speaks of a mature Christian who knows who Jesus is, who knows where he comes from, and knows that he's been renewed. He's got a new mind, he's got a new person, he's got a new identity, everything is new. And this is what Christ wants us to realize. We can be fruitful. You don't have to sit at home and think, yes, Lord, my life is a mess as a Christian. You have to understand this is a process. This is steps that you have to take consciously, not just, okay, Lord, I'm a Christian, now I will sit in the boat and see where we go next. This is not what God called us to do. We are called to action, to be proactive, but also to relationship, because this flows from relationship. God, where do you want me? God, where do you want me to go? God, who must I pray for? Holy Spirit, you want me to speak to Him? What? Yes, Lord, I'll submit. Also the example of Reinhard Bonnke, where God came to him in a dream and said, but I want you to go, I don't even remember, to evangelize somewhere or to print books. And he just said, yes, Lord, I'm so busy now. Maybe next year. And the Lord turns around and says, you're the fifth person I came to. And then he woke up. And then he jumps out of bed, runs to the door, opens, Lord, Lord, come back. And he realizes what he's done wrong. He realizes that God has asked him something and he has to respond. He can't say, but Lord, I'm too busy. The Lord gave him those things that he's busy with now. So now the Lord is wanting to direct his path to another way. And he has to say, Lord, yes, you gave this to me. I'll give it to somebody else so I can give what you want me to do now. And that is where we as Christians have to grow to. The knowledge of Christ, knowing Christ in our hearts, knowing what he wants us to do, having the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it has to be in line with the Word. So many times we have prophecies and words, and then we forget to go to the Word and say, but Lord, does it align with your Word? Does it concur with your Word? If yes, go with it. If it does not, just say thank you for the Word, but I'll go and think about it for a while. And that for me is maturity in Christ. And I'm basically done. So if this, I've spoken to quite a large number of people. I wasn't expecting this many people for a long weekend and everything, but if God has laid something in your heart that you want me or somebody else to pray with you, please don't go out. We would really love to pray with you. And if you don't know the Lord in the way that I've described it as a mature Christian, I would really love to pray for you to get that maturity, to walk in that maturity. Because we are all called to walk in that maturity. And it's not a simple step. It's difficult. It's choices that you have to make and stick to, no matter what the consequences, no matter what the cost. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's so easy you can't believe it. But you have to stick to them. You have to be diligent. You have to do it with perseverance. And God will just show you the fruit. You will look back over your life and realize, yes, God, amazing trees that have been planted, amazing fruit that I've bared. And it's all thanks to you because I could not have done this on my own. There is no way. Situations that you saved me out of. I mean, that is where you as a Christian really start to know God, learn to trust Him in His Word. And that is what it's all about for us as a church. To know God, to know who He is, to know what He wants you to do, to realize how much He loves you. And then take that love and give it to somebody else to say, God loves you more than you will ever dream. Amen. I just want to close in prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your word that is so powerful, Lord, to change our lives and touch our hearts, Father. We just ask, Lord God, for every word that was spoken today, Lord, that's from your heart, from your word, that it will go into people's hearts and minds, Lord, and will get stuck there, Father. It will remind them of your love, Father. It will remind them of who you are as our God and Savior. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the example that you set, Father, that awesome example on the cross, Father, where you died for us, Lord, but where you rose again as well, Lord God, that you became a God to us, Lord, the one that you were supposed to be, not a man, baby stuck in a manger, Lord God, but a God ascended to heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, the Father. And you are there, Lord, interceding for us. Lord, giving us the strength, Lord, and the power through your Spirit, Lord, to overcome any obstacle that this life throws at us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love us beyond compare. Father, that we're all about you, Lord God, and you're all about us. And we just want to experience that love, Father, that life, Lord, in abundance, Father. We want to pray it over each and every person here today, Father, that they will be able to experience that life, that they will be able to have that life, Lord, and not only look at people and Christians around them and think, but I have a desire for that life. They have it already, Lord God. They just have to walk in it. They have to walk with you and let you guide their steps, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, that you are at the door knocking, Lord, wanting them to open it. You will go in and dine with them whenever you open the door. We thank you, Lord, that you are gracious and righteous, Lord. That when you come to our house, Lord God, you don't look at the grass that is long or the trash that is lying in front of the door, Father. You just walk over it and still knock. Even if you know there's no food inside, Lord God, you will bring your own food to set at the table, Lord. You will set the table. We just thank you, Lord, for your heart, Lord, that is so perfect and so loving that we can understand it, Father, from your perspective and not our own, Father. Because we are broken vessels that you want to repair, Father. We ask that you would prepare each and every heart, Lord God. Just give them, Father, that light, that life, Father, that just goes beyond any explanation that they can start to think of, Lord God. Just as the man, Father, that gave his life to you, Father. He saw this life. He wanted it. He wanted to experience you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace in this house. And it will just grow from strength to strength, Lord. We thank you for that love that is in our hearts that we can give to the people around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.